Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Hey, it's good to be here today. I am so glad to be back in Melbourne with Pastor Flex and all these wonderful people. And I don't know about you, that was emotional. I mean, I'm very close with Sean, and when I think about coming here, I had one of those. You ever have one of those years? And I had one of those years. And I'm going to try not to get emotional today. When I heard, you know, this was the weekend that Sean was going to be taking on these new things, the Lord just laid on my heart, and he gave me this about a couple months ago, and I've had it on my phone. And for some reason, you know, you go through your phone and you erase things, but you hold on to some certain things. And this is one of those things that I held on, and it says, God will never leave you empty. And if he asked you to put something down, it's because he wants you to pick something up that's greater. And I am excited for what God has for your family. I don't know about you, how you deal with stress. I laugh when I get stressed out. I'm very emotional. I'm over here crying. Phil, he exercises. He's going to get all roided out now. And, it's just going to be crazy. He'll be pumping and at the gym eating steel and things like that. And I'm glad to be here today. I just want to have a good time. For those of you, how many people have never met me before? Raise your hand so I can see. Oh, that's funny. All right, so this is what we're going to do. For those of you who don't know, I am from New Jersey. I'm married. I've got three kids, Primo, Lana, and Vito. And obviously, with names like that, you can tell I'm Italian. But my wife, she's Jewish, so that means we eat out all the time, but I got to pay. But that's a whole other problem. But just so you can get to know me a little bit, but I want to speak to you this morning out of the Word of God. I just want to share my heart with you today. I get to speak in America at a lot of events. I'm an event speaker. So I speak in public schools, and I get to speak at different maybe music festivals or events. And not that long ago, I was at an event called Creation. Now, this event has 100,000 people at it. And it's amazing, as someone who's a public speaker, and this is the same for anybody that's in a leadership position, we've got to learn to put our focus in the right place. Lots of times we can get distracted, and distractions, the devil wants to distract you. He wants to get you the mind off your focus, the focus off of things that are important and where God's leading you. And it's amazing. There's 100,000 people in the crowd, and I'm the MC, the host for this event. So I'm talking, and I don't know why, but there's like a type of mosh pit in the front. And there was a guy who kept walking back and forth while I was talking and doing announcements and bringing up speakers. And he kept looking at me, and he kept going like this. He was going... Now, to in America, that means you're a loser. And he just kept saying. And it just bothered me, and he kept doing it. And every time I came off, I'm like, that guy really just doesn't like me. And I kept going out, and what I didn't realize was that we have during the event, the guy, he's just from a different generation. He was saying, when I walked to the side, I walked up, I said, are you okay? Because he kept going like this. He goes, I love you. And it's all how you look at things. It's all about perspective. All I saw was loser, but he was saying he loved me the whole time. And I'll tell you, in life, if you allow distractions to come in, you never know how God can use a distraction. I don't know about you, but I'm like a movie guy, so like I've just went through my Avengers thing. I saw Avengers, Age of Ultron. I love me some Iron Man. I'm a Wolverine fan. I love heroes. In fact, I don't know if you guys know this, but this past December, we had some heroes come to America. I don't know if you saw them. They can come. There's the heroes that came to America, and they ran in us, Pastor Phil and Mick, and that's my wife in the middle. They ran in a race, but I love heroes, and I like the I like it. Proud Australia. That was a great way to represent your country in America. Everybody here is so proud. But I want you to hear that we love heroes. I love heroes. I love the idea. But I believe inside of each of us, there's a hero inside of each of us. But what I've learned in life is that heroes do not wear capes. They wear compassion. Learning the compassion and the love of Jesus Christ, being able to demonstrate that wherever you go, that's what we're called to do as believers. My job is not to be a good, effective communicator. My job is to be able to express to people that I care and love them the way that Jesus loved them. My goal in life, our goal as believers in this world is to be able to make an impact wherever we go. And passion without impact is just hype. And that's what I want to talk about today, and I want you to grab a hold of this. Now listen up to this. I can't turn on the TV without finding some type of terror that's going on. It's amazing how mainstream media has just developed and grown into. It seems like if it's negative, we've got to talk about it. But if it's good, we've got to suppress it. And it seems like the good news is suppressed and the bad news is elevated. I turn on TV and I see, just last week before I left, I was in the airport and I saw another hideous crime done by ISIS. And people say, what do you do when things like that happen? Well, I've learned this. I've learned that wherever there is hate, it's our job to bring love. Wherever there's despair, it's our job to bring hope. Wherever there's pain, we have to offer the opportunity for healing. Because if I've learned one thing in this faith journey that I've been on, it's that hope says God can, but faith says God will. And we've got to increase our faith. We've got to be able to see something that isn't there and believe it's going to happen. Kind of like what Pastor Phil and Sean and Mick and Ben did. All before this room was ever filled with people, he saw what could happen. John 15:16 says that we didn't choose God, but God chose us. And what I've learned in my journey is that God does his best work in seemingly hopeless situations. I don't know what situations you've come from. I don't know where you've come from. I don't know what you're holding, what you're bearing. But I do know that rejection offers the opportunity to find direction. And if you've been here today and maybe you're carrying something that's heavy in your heart, I want to let you know that I think God's laid this on my heart for you today. It says this in Judges chapter 3, verse 31. It's one verse I want to read. I want to talk about one guy. And it says this. It said in Judges chapter 3, verse 31, it says, after Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad, and he also saved Israel too. Father, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to talk to you about this guy named Shamgar. Now, everybody say Shamgar. Shamgar. Everybody say Shamgar. Shamgar. Now, you probably never heard of him. You know why? Because he wasn't talked about very much. And lots of times, just because we don't hear about something doesn't mean it's not happening. Yeah. This guy here is in the Bible, and he's only mentioned in two verses in the whole Bible. Two verses. Now, let me explain to you what's going on here. He was there, and I don't know what happened before. All I know is that there was a fight. That's all I know. All I know is there was this guy named Shamgar, and somehow along the line, there were 600 people that were around there, and he wound up killing them all with an ox goad. Now, if you don't know what an ox goad is, it's about 6 feet long. It's flat on one end, pointed on the other. It's used by farmers and those who herd cattle. And so he was attacked, and all I know that I could find in all the commentaries that I looked in, all I knew was this, is that in that time, there was no king. There was no ruling there. There was no truth. There was no standard. People kind of just did whatever they wanted to do. And in the midst of all this chaos, there was this guy named Shamgar, and all he had in his hand was this ox goad. And I don't know how he got in a fight with that many people, because I don't know about you. I've made some people mad, but I've never made that many people mad. You hear what I'm saying? And he was there, and all of a sudden, he was able to kill all these people. Now, I don't know about you. I like movies like 300, you know what I'm talking about, right? I like Gladiator, you know. I'm talking about some Russell Crowe reaching the heart, pulled out, let it beat in your hand for a second. I like that kind of movie, you know what I mean? I'm like man movies. We have a TV channel called TNT. They have a thing for movies for guys who like movies. That's right. You know what I mean? And so I like this kind of stuff. But my problem with this verse is it's just this two verses in the whole Bible this guy gets mentioned. I don't know about you. Guys, look at me. If we killed 600 people by ourselves, I'd want a parade. Y'all hear what I'm talking about? I'd want to walk down the center street in Melbourne. I'd want them throwing confetti on me. I want them talking good about me. I'd want to hold up my ox goat like I did something. But it didn't happen for this guy. He was just somebody who was committed to do what God called him to do, and along the way, God gave him the power to do it. And then he moved on like it didn't even happen, and he wasn't even mentioned. Maybe you're here today, and you feel like your story's been going on, and things are heavy, and you've gone through different things, and you've gone through trials, and you've gone through circumstances. I want to talk to you today, and I want to give you some tangible things to grab a hold of. I came here today, I've decided I'm going to preach, and I'm going to have a point. I usually don't have a point, but today I've got three of them, okay? So I want you to grab a hold of this. 3 points I want you to grab. Number one, I want you to, like Shamgar, there's something I want you to do. Number one, I don't know where you're at, but you can start where you're at. A lot of times we say, we're going to wait till tomorrow. We're going to wait till next week. But today's the day of opportunity. Today's the day to make decisions. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Yeah, that's right. And it's also the day that you can grab a hold of your dream. You know what? Nothing that was... You can never, ever accomplish anything if you don't ever risk anything. And some of you are trying to say, can God handle this thing better than me? And I'm here to let you know the answer is yes. God can handle this whole life thing better than you can handle it. And you can trust his hands and you can trust him working and moving in your lives. So point number one, follow me today. I want to talk to you about starting where you're at. We're good at procrastinating. We're also good at something else. We're good at talking about yesterday. How many people got that friend that talks about yesterday like it's today? And they tell you the same story over and over again. And they're still talking about yesterday's victories, yesterday's wins, yesterday's successes, yesterday's girlfriend, yesterday's boyfriend. You don't want me to keep going now, do you? And we talk so much about yesterday that we can't get caught up with what's going on today. Today, I really want us to be able to grab a hold of the reason that we can't procrastinate what God wants to do in our life, because it's not us trying to get to God. God's waiting for us to call on him. Revelation chapter 3 says that God stands and he knocks at the door of our heart. Everybody thinks it's that pretty picture we see of Jesus sometimes. We walk into churches. We see a picture of the big red door and got the white Jesus there knocking on the door. Of that beautiful door, this beautiful house. But that's not the way it was. That door, it's not made of this beautiful fine wood that's polished. It's made of rejection. It's made of loneliness. It's made of shame. It's made of guilt. It's made of sad times, rough times, good times, smiles and tears. And the Bible tells us that Jesus stands and he knocks on that door, hoping, not that he doesn't want to open it, for us to welcome him in. And I want you to realize today is a day that can start for you. You know, you can sit in a chair years and years and years attending church, but never allowing yourself to become part of a church. You know, it's crazy, as I've been coming here now to do stuff with Compass Church for years. And I had one of those years. And I said to myself, if I can just get to that Sunday morning at Compass, everything's going to be okay. You ever pick that point in your life where you say, if I know when I get to this point, I'm going to be on the other side of this thing. If I could just get to this point, I know things are going to look different. Kind of like in Mark chapter 4, you know, Jesus and the disciples are hanging out on a boat and there was this big storm that was going on. Storm's going on, boats being thrown everywhere. The disciples are scared because they think they're going to sink. And you know what Jesus is doing? It says in Mark chapter 4 that Jesus was on a cushion in the front sleeping. And a lot of times we think Jesus is sleeping on our storms. We think Jesus is sleeping on our problems. We think he's sleeping on our situation. When the whole time, it's not that he doesn't care about the storm. He just trusts his heavenly Father. And I'm here today to tell you, if Jesus trusts him and they trust him, then you can trust him. This Sunday morning, you can trust God because he cares about you. Shamgar's here and he decided, number one, to start where he was at. And then he's there, and a lot of times, like I said, we think that God doesn't care. Did you ever, you know, sometimes we put God in the category that we have our friends in. How many of you have the friend that you talk to, but you know they're not listening? And you catch them? You know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, right? You know, right? I got one of those. And you're talking to him, I have a friend back in America. Like, I was telling him, like, I was going through a tough time. And I said, can we grab a coffee? And we're sitting there, and he's got, like, ADD, like, really bad. He's like squirrel, like, every 5 seconds. And we're sitting there, we're eating, and I'm, like, pouring my heart out. And I realize that he's daydreaming, but he's looking at me, but he's not there. You know what I mean, right? And so I had the steak knife in my hand because I was having something, steak, and I'm sitting there with my steak knife, and I said, you know, and the worst thing about it was I took a steak knife, I stuck it up my nose, I bled out, and I died right on the table. And he looked at me, and he goes, I'm so glad you shared stuff with me, brother. I love you. For the love of God, pay attention when people talk to you. You know what I mean? And sometimes we put God in the category that he's like our friends that don't listen to us or our friends that don't care, and we put him in that category because people in our lives... I'm here to let you know today, again, that Jesus is not asleep. Number one, start where you're at. Number two, I want you to realize that you've got to be able to use what you have. Shamgar, all he had was an ox goad. He did it to go out and do the plants. He went out to go do the crops. He took care of the animals. And all he had was that. You might say, I don't have much. I don't own much. I don't do much. I'm not aware of many things. I'm not educated. You know what? Whatever you had, do it unto the Lord, because God can use whatever he's placed inside your hand. The only thing that's stopping you is your choice and your ambitions. See, the only thing, I say this in schools, I say you're not born winners, you're not born losers, you're born choosers. And every choice you make, there's a consequence. So let the choices that you make today be something that's going to allow you to align with God. Shamgar's here, and he's in this situation, and he realizes, number one, he had to start where he's at. Number two, he decided to use what was in his hands. You know what's crazy is I hear people all the time say, I need to win the lottery. And they want $5 million, but they don't handle their $5 the right way. Do you all hear what I'm talking about? Why should God give us an increase when we don't handle what we have in the appropriate way? We don't honor God in the appropriate way. We're so promotion-driven rather than where God wants us to be. Let me explain. When I was a kid, I took karate. I wasn't very good at many things. When I was like, say, 11 years old, I weighed the same as I weigh now, but I was 4 feet shorter. So due to geography, you know what I mean? And I never forget, I was in karate, and for 3 years I took karate. And for 3 years I was a white belt. There's a problem with that. Do you hear what I'm saying? No promotion whatsoever. And all my friends, they're like coming in orange belts and green belts and brown belts and black belts. But for 3 years I was a white belt. So finally, I went up to the guy who was our master, sensei, we called him, and I said, you know, how come I never get any promotion? So he took my white belt off me, he took a piece of tape, and he put it on the end, and then he put the belt back on me, and he looked at me, he goes, promotion. And I looked at him like, no, that's electrical tape, that's not a promotion, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times in life, we're looking for this recognition, and we're looking to our left, and we're looking to our right, we're looking to our friends, we're looking to people in different places. I will let you know today, promotion only comes from God. And you might get, your job might give you a different title, but only God can change who you are, and only you can let God into that place to do it. Yeah. Shamgar's here, and he realizes, number one, you got to start where you're at. Number two, you got to use what you've got. It makes me think of a story of a young man. You know, I told you I grew up in a school where I was the only kid with special needs. And I would hear words like stupid and fat and dumb and retard every day when I would walk out at 11 o'clock to the RV. And that's how people try to define me. But a label is only becomes a label when you put it on. And it's your choice whether to find your voice or to become an echo. And the world got enough echoes, but we need to find some voices. There's a young man. I want you to hear and see this for yourself, and I'll be back in a minute. Watch this on the screen.
From what I understand, his father passed away, and he would have pictures of him in his locker. Some students thought it would be a good idea to rip down those pictures and harass him and bully him for missing and loving his father.
Going through what I went through, you kind of keep to yourself. You don't know who you are or anything. You're just walking through the space, empty space. It's kind of like a puzzle. You're trying to find your way to the good things in life.
No one wants to be bullied. Everyone wants to feel like they mean something to somebody.
It's definitely a hard 4 years of your life, you know?
Even, like, a few words can affect someone so negatively.
I'd sit in the cafeteria alone. I wouldn't talk to anyone. Even if people invited me to sit with them, I didn't feel this was my place to be, you know?
Coming to a city school, a lot of people said, you're just going to make it worse. I didn't know what else to do for them. So, yeah, we just took the jump. I was pretty scared, you know. I kind of thought the city experience, maybe a bigger high school rather than a small town high school, it just might be better.
I hoped that attending the school, I would be treated like everyone else. I just wanted to make it and just be a normal kid. I was sick and tired of being a no one. I wanted to be someone, and I wanted to reach out to people and show who I was.
I just remember at first they called him the doorman. They thought he was weird.
It was definitely kind of weird. It took a while for people to adjust. But once people realized that he was continuing with it, it almost became something to look forward to in the morning. Like, you walk up the stairs and you know that Josh Yant's going to be standing there with a big smile on his face saying good morning.
No problem.
The first few weeks when I started doing it, they were kind of shocked.
Good, you? Thank you.
Not many people hold doors, right? But after that, people started to open up to me. Opening a door is more than a physical act. It's about putting yourself out there, getting to know people, making them feel comfortable, making them feel welcome.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thanks, opening George. Doors, it gives people hope that people care.
I think that was his way of saying I'm here and I'm not going to be invisible anymore.
He had literally, just by holding doors and saying good morning, he had turned, like, he'd made a drastic change in his life.
It was definitely a positive effect. Like, it made people want to do nice things for other people. Like, it was, he set a good example for other students.
Everything changed huge. I mean, everyone said it. All the teachers, the students felt it. They talked about it, you know, that he changed things in the school. And he was a changed Josh.
We were honored to have Josh. We were privileged. Any school would have benefited.
I think Prom King was a way to say thank you from the students and the staff. So when he won, it was like his moment to shine.
When we heard Josh Yant's name pulled out, it was like pretty much the whole, everyone should have just ran up there and been Prom King because it felt like everybody won.
Yeah, he's standing tall and straight. He's got the big grin on his face and get the crown.
I never expected to get an award or anything like that. I just, I was just happy enough to make it through.
Just 1 year and things are totally turned around, totally. And it would have been fine if the story stopped there. It could have, and it would have been okay. And he still would have been the same person.
All right, guys, so now is the moment. Let's all line up to the side of the room. Once we're all lined up quietly, we will head down to the gym.
I would have never thought he would be a public speaker because he had been so shy, but he took to public speaking like a duck to water.
He draws them in, and it's this aura, it's this personality that he exudes. He's been there, and so they relate to him in that respect.
When I had heard your story, it kind of made me feel like I could be more like myself.
It changed the way I thought about things. It changed the way, like, how I felt about myself.
I personally think that you shouldn't let, like, what's going on around you affect your personality or the way you act.
I think he shows them just be courageous. You know, don't let the bullies get you down. Just, you know, fight back in your own way, maybe with a little kindness.
It's amazing how just one simple act can change your whole life. I never thought doing something so simple could be so rewarding.
I want to ask you this morning, you know, we have to start where we're at. And then it's a choice just to use what's simply already in your hands. Can you simply take what God's already given you and give it back to Him? For some of us, it's our resources. Some of us, it's our story. But it doesn't matter what your story was like. You're more than what you came out of. It's about what you can become. You see, there's three things you got to remember today. Number one, start where you're at. Number two, use what you have. And number three, you can simply only do what you can do. You know, I've learned something in this journey. We go into public schools, and that's why we're here. You've given your time, you've given your resources, so we have a place to stay and a plane to fly on to get here. All because, you know, your pastor and the team has a vision for reaching students to have hope. Kids sit in school every day like Josh, and they need to hear a voice and not the echo. The echo comes from the people around them, but there needs to be a voice that they can hear that says, you know what, you don't have to be invisible anymore. You don't have to be in the sidelines. You don't have to blend in. You're not part of the wall. You can be the wall that somebody else can lean on. What's great about the story about his mom, she said this. She said, you know what? He did this door holding thing. The school changed. He changed. And it could have stopped there. You know, Sean, you could have came here and did this thing, have this great career move, have this promotion that's going to happen to you and all the things that come along with that. But you know what? I know the type of person you are. So when you leave here, what happened here isn't going to stop here. It's just going to happen again somewhere else. And as you lay down some things, you pick up other things that are greater. And that's why I'm here today. You see, Josh held this physical door for people. But Jesus stands at this door on the outside of your heart. And he's the doorman that wants to open it up. And he opens up the possibilities and opportunities and situations. Before I came here, I was on school tour in Newfoundland. If you don't know where that is, think of America and as far out to the sea as possible. And I'm doing schools there. And one day we were doing schools and every town is about an hour and a half in between each other. And the crazy thing about these schools being like so far from each other is we would do schools during the day, then we'd have to drive a couple hours at nighttime to get to the next town. So one day we're in this town and the people I was with said, I have an aunt and uncle in this town. And when we're done to schools, because there's an event tonight, we're going to go back to their house and hang out there. Now, after you do five or six schools, you're not exactly chatty, you know? You kind of want a little downtime. But I was like, okay, you know, God has his purpose. I went there, we got to the house, and Aunt Maureen was her name. And I'm social, so she came in, I'm like, Aunt Maureen! Like, she never met me before, acted like she was my real aunt, you know? I'm hugging her, going in the refrigerator, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, I'm walking around and I see this picture of this young man in his 20s in every room. Didn't think anything about it. Then Uncle John got home. Now, we're in the country. He walks in and do you know what he had? He had a dead rabbit in his hand that he had just killed. That he was going to eat. That's disgusting. Okay, if you hunt and kill and eat your own food, that's your problem. A brother uses the drive-thru, you know what I'm saying? And he's got this in his hand, and he introduces himself to me, and then he goes out in the garage, and I guess he's slaughtering the poor sucker. Right? I mean, it's a shame. And he comes back in, and thank God we didn't eat rabbit. We sat down, had dinner together, and I'm getting ready to leave the house to go to this event. Kind of like what we're doing with you this week. I never met these people before. But I learned you've got to start every day where you're at and use every opportunity that God gives you. You can't always do everything you want to do, but you can always do everything that you can do. And I've learned that every time I'm at bat, I swing as hard as I can. Because I never know if it's going to be my last time at bat. There's a time in my life where I didn't know if I was going to make it another month. The fact that I'm even here and able to do the things that I do and I'm functional, it don't mean I'm not crazy, because I'm definitely crazy. But I've learned something, and I learned something that day with Uncle John and Aunt Maureen. I went to say goodbye, and he came up and he hugged me, like super tight, like a Michael Salisbury hug, very inappropriate. And he's hugging me, and he's holding me. And I could feel tears hitting my neck. And he said, every once in a while, God allows young men of God to come through our house. My son died when he was 24 in a hunting accident. And I feel like when you're here today, I get to hug him one more time. At that point, I was a total wreck. I was crying worse than him. And I hugged him back. And I look at the opportunity that night to start right where I was at, to love people that God put me in front of, to share my heart and to be able to hear their heart, to realize that everybody has a story and everything has something going on in their life. And I've learned this in life. I've learned I can't control the rain, but I can control where it falls. And where I go, I'll tell you right now, my umbrella might not be big. I love as much as I can. I can't cover the whole room, but I can cover somebody. And I want to let you know, you might not be able to do everything, but you can do something. I want you to realize today that if you're in a tough situation, maybe your story has been something that nobody else knows about. Maybe you've blended into the walls like Josh, and you're tired of being invisible. You've never been invisible to the invincible God. And if you want to find God today, I'm going to tell you where you can find God. You can find God where the impossible meets the incredible. That's where you find God. If you have something impossible, you let God be incredible, and that's where you'll find him if you'll only hand it over to him today. I tell this in schools, and I'm going to close with this before I give you an opportunity today to respond. I want you to know this morning, you don't have to be great to get started. But you do have to get started to allow God to do something great. And that's for you today. I want you to grab a hold of that this morning. I want you to realize this. You know, your church has played such a role with our partnership from overseas. Some of you say, well, there's the guy who does the schools. He comes every year with these other guys that he brings. No, no, we're doing schools. We are doing schools. You and me, you and Seth. Some people go, some people send. But all together, we are doing the work. So when you gave your finances, your resources, and your time, you're going with us. And every student that I'm in front of this year, this day, this week, when I'm out there, in your schools with your kids, asking them questions like, how would everybody in this room agree that life's hard enough without anybody else tearing you down? Asking them questions about, shouldn't the words that come out of our mouth build people up and not tear people down? See, I've got this rule in life. Everything I do has to, number one, honor God, and number two, has to bring people together. And if those two things don't happen, it doesn't happen for me. And I'm going to be in your schools talking to your kids, but I want you to know you're going to be there with me. Josh held doors for students. You know why? Because so they could see his heart. And now that you've seen Josh's heart, can I talk to you about yours? Where you're at with Jesus. The Bible says he stands and he knocks on the door of your heart because he cares for you. Romans chapter 5 says this, that God demonstrated his love that when we were still sinners, he decided to die for us. When he knew we were a mess and a mistake and our story was broken and we came from crazy places, he loved the quiet us, the loud us, the crazy us, the lonely us, the guilty us, the addicted us. And that's what that door is made out of. And he doesn't care how dirty your door is. All you have to do is say his name and he's coming in to meet you just where you're at. So maybe today you're visiting and you're like, who's this guy? Who are these other people coming up? We're just people that love each other. I fly around the world to be here on a plane for 25 hours. You know why? Because I'm doing life with friends. I don't know what you're used to. But that's what believers do with each other. And maybe you say, you know, that's what's missing from my life. Today's a great day. Because Jesus is here and he's knocking on your door. In fact, just like Josh, he's willing to hold the door open. And he'll take you with all your mess, all your confusion, all your loneliness, all the good things and the bad things. Some of you are here today and you think, you know, once I get myself straightened out, then I'll give my life to God. God wants you when you're all confused and messed up. He's in the messy life business. And it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It just means you don't have to carry that stuff by yourself anymore. So would you do me a favor? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I want to challenge every believer in this room. Number one, I don't know what you are doing for God, but if you're not doing anything, start where you're at. Number two, use what you've got. You don't need to pick up a microphone, but do what you can do. Some people go, some people send. But everybody is part of the process. If you're here today and you say, you know what, my door is all messed up. Jesus doesn't want to knock on my door. Oh, yes, he does. The more broken, messed up, and ugly your door is, the more interested he is. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to set you free. Maybe you're held captive by your past. Maybe you're like me and every time you try to do something good, you kept hearing the words of other people. Like you're stupid, you're dumb, you're fat, or you can't, or you won't, or you'll never be, or you can't do. That's the echo. And then all of a sudden I heard the voice that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can get to the Father but by me. And I met a guy named Jesus, the Son of God, who came to take away my sins. And just like that story I told you about the disciples in the boat, you know what? You might be going through a storm now. But you know what? You can't let the water in. Because God's got you safe in his hands. Maybe you're holding something today and it's so heavy and it's weighing you down. I want to tell you, God wants you to put that down because he wants to pick you up. So I want to ask with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here, you've never given Jesus an opportunity in your life. You've tried everything else. You've tried to drink it. You tried to date it. You tried to buy it. And none of it's made you happy. You found yourself alone time and time again, fail-proof. You were happy for a little bit, but again, there you were again. And it's never satisfied. I want to tell you, the Bible says there's a cup of water that you can drink, and his name is Jesus, and it's a living water, and it will quench your thirst and your need. And if you give him a chance today, he wants to meet you where you're at. So if you're here today, two questions I want to ask. Number one, you've never asked Jesus into your heart. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray with you today. So I'm going to count to three. When I do, put your hand up and put it down. I'm just going to say a prayer. No one will know but me. And I'm going back to America, so nobody's going to know. Are you ready? One, two, three. You want to meet Jesus today? Anybody in this room? I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Second question I want to ask. You've been a spectator in this whole thing. It's time for you to get out of the stands and get in the game. This story of Shamgard, it was about a guy you never heard of. All of a sudden, stepping in, and everybody realized, this guy's a superstar. But it wasn't his ability, it was who was behind his ability. It was God working behind the scenes on his behalf that gave him supernatural ability to do something he never could have done on his own. Some of you are afraid because you're saying, you know what, I can't do anything for God. You're absolutely right. But with God's help, you can do anything. Nothing is impossible for God, because if he can use me, then I'm telling you right now, he can use you. So if you're here and you've been on the sidelines and you want to get in the game, you're tired of watching everybody else, you want to see where and why and how God can use you, Encompass Church wants to follow up with you, and we want to help you. Help you with the design that God has for your life and your story, for your masterpiece. If that's you, right now, raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Anybody? Tired of sitting in the stands. I see those hands. Lots of people. You can put them down. Would you all stand with me? A song we used to sing when I was a kid, a long time ago. It went like this. I won't leave here like I came, in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick or lame, because the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts is still the same. I won't leave here like I came, in Jesus' name. If you choose to leave this room today the same as you walked in, that's your choice for you, not God's choice for you. So I want to challenge you to reach for God's very best in your life. He loves you. He cares about you. We're going to pray a prayer in a second. It's going to be a prayer for asking Jesus to become your personal Lord and Savior. And if you're praying that prayer for the first time, I'm going to be the first to welcome you to the family of God. Get plugged in. These are real, genuine people in this place. Bow your heads with me. Everybody say, Jesus, it's today. I confess with my mouth that I'm a sinner, that I've made mistakes, bad decisions, that I'm a sinner, but I'm looking for a Savior. Today, I believe in my heart that you're the Son of God that came to walk through the door of my heart so that I might find salvation. Today, be my Lord, be my Savior. I want to be born again. I'm a child of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, I give you my heart. If you just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. No one's going to love you better than the people that are here. Now let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for this place. I thank you, God, for the story of Shamgard, someone that was never mentioned but did so much. I pray for every person that feels unmentioned and unnoticed, every person that's gone invisible all these years. Father, I pray that you'd put a demonstration in their life of your power, your love. I pray, Father, that you would allow your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, that you'd allow us to enter and to get into the game, to do what you called us to do, to recognize the calling that you put on our lives. That, Father, everybody's called in different ways, from different places, to do different things, all with one united purpose. I pray that you'd bind us together with your love, that you draw us closer to one another. I pray that you put people in our path that we can hug to give life once more again. I pray that we could hold doors so that people would see a smile that they hadn't seen in a while. I pray that we'd have the encouraging words to lift people up and not tear them down. And I'd pray that people would feel different and know something different because we decided not to just be watchers, but we decided to be doers. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.